Here we are again. It is the news, according to me. Well, good morning. It's still morning. It's Central Standard Time. It is 9:57. It's 10:57, almost 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. I am your host, the one who is not a doctor nor a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor. I only just give you my opinions, sometimes I give advice, but it's just, you know, you got to take it with a grain of salt because I'm not a professional or anything. So it just, the views expressed by the narrator of this show are not necessarily the views of the whatever. I just have a few things to talk about today. Unfortunately, I have no cup. I've already eaten my cinnamon roll and had my cup of chai this morning, and so I'm kind of sitting here with nothing. I've got nothing. I was going to make some iced chai, and I did not do that. I guess I could still do that. Probably should do that. Why don't I just do that? I think I'm going to do that. I'm going to put you on a pause. I'm on my laptop on my boat here this morning, so that what I'm going to do is I'm going to put a short pause on. Well, maybe I'll just keep talking. I'll just keep talking while I'm making my chai. Maybe you can still hear me. I don't know if you can still hear me or not. I'm still talking. I'm over here, over here in the galley. But we call it a galley on the boat. It's called a galley. It's not a kitchen. It's a galley. And I'm going to heat up some water. I have to heat up water to make iced chai. And then I've got this ice maker here that I'm just going to put. I'm going to make up a little cup of hot chai. And I'm going to make I fill up this cup with ice. This cup here, I'm going to fill it up with ice. And that's what I'm going to do. That's how that works. And then I just pour the hot, little concentrated, overly concentrated cup of hot chai. Yeah, I'll just wait for that to heat up and do its thing. I'm just going to leave that right there. Okay, anyway, I can come back here and talk for a little bit while we're doing all that. I want to get into this whole issue. I want to dive down deeper into this today, but I'm also going to dive into it more, especially Friday. Now, I might be able to have some audio clips possibly tomorrow, probably going to be on Thursday when I'm actually going to have some audio clips. By the way, it's August 13th, 2024. I don't know if I mentioned that or not earlier part of this. This whole issue of Biden stepping down. Now, there's all kinds of things that are coming out now. In fact, actual records of events that took place. I guess he was out in Las Vegas. I think right after he made his announcement, he was out there basically stomping and pounding on the table and saying he was going to continue on as the nominee. You know, he just went on Morning Joe and he was talking about the elites who were telling him not to run. And then within 24 hours, all of a sudden, he says he's not going to run. Excuse me. There's probably another one coming. And here it comes. So, sorry for that, folks. Maybe I'll edit that out. Maybe I won't, because that's just the way this show rolls. I have some serious issues with the way this all went down. And I really doubt that legally they have done anything correct. Usually this stuff happens after an election. You'll find out that they violated, you know, campaign finance law or whatever they did in the process of doing all these things. And I have the feeling that this is going to be one of those events that we're going to find out later was they violated all kinds of things. And sorry. And once again, I don't have a mute button on this laptop. I can't mute myself while I'm sneezing my brains out. I have just some interesting things that happen in regard to all this. We have Joe Biden. The timeline, as I'm understanding it, is, you know, Nancy Pelosi was on some news shows prior to this, to his little rushing back to Delaware, I guess, on Air Force One from Las Vegas. So he's out there and he's stomping the pavement and he's telling everybody he's going to run. He's, you know, blah 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 blah. Says, "No, I'm the nominee. I'm running. You know, I can win. I'm the only guy who's ever beaten him." And maybe he believes all this. All mad at the elites for telling him he couldn't get out. I don't know. He was talking to Morning Joe and Brzezinka or whatever her name is, and will say, oh, you're not the elites, but those elites out there are telling me I have to do this. I don't know who these elites are. I'd like to see a list of names. One of the only people he's mentioned about this whole thing and this whole process since the stepping down from the campaign is Nancy Pelosi. He mentioned her names. Now, I assume she's part of that elite cabal, at least politically. On the politician side, there's also other elites behind the scenes who are people who have, you know, are the money folks like Soros and those others that are behind the scenes. So even Dan Goldberg, or Goldman, he's a congressman. He's also one of the money moguls behind the DNC. You know, he's getting directly involved now as a congressman, I think probably to keep more tabs on people that way. So this is all going on, and of course, all of a sudden, within 24 hours, Biden is saying he's stepping down, and all he does is he sends a letter. Now, Nancy Pelosi says, that didn't seem like Joe Biden to me in the letter. She doesn't think it was Joe Biden writing the letter. What are you saying, Nancy? You're the one. Now, she right before this weekend that he steps, that he gets rushed back to Delaware and makes this announcement, right before that, he was just saying, basically, one after another, he just got off the interview with Joe and Mika. Like within 12 hours, Nancy Pelosi is doing this podcast tour. I think she might be selling a book. How convenient. A ghostwriter book, of course. She's selling this book, and she's telling everybody that she's, he's going to have to make a decision. He's going to have to decide. Joe's going to have to decide on this, and you know, the president. He should be on Mount Rushmore. He's a wonderful person. No, this is exactly the way Rush Limbaugh played it out to be. He said what they're going to do is they're going to do this very, very benevolently. Say, oh, poor Joe. You know, he's going to step down. They're going to shower him with accolades to get Kamala in. Now, Rush was on my opinion as well that this was going to happen years ago. I thought Joe might make it through the first year, and then all of a sudden we were going to have Kamala as our president. Apparently, in the process of that first year, they were never convinced that Kamala was a viable, likable person. Nobody wanted her to be president, and Joe was doing it. And they were able to, you know, keep the wool over our eyes, thinking that he was not over my eyes and not over most of my listeners' eyes, but the American people seemed to think that we're going to get into that a little bit later too. This whole thing of Kamala basically running against herself. She's running against Joe Biden, who she's running against. And it's just the weirdest thing. I think even Steven Crowder had a segment on this and pointed it out. I saw he had a show about how she's running against herself, and that's exactly what she's doing. She's saying that when I become president, we're going to do this. You're the VP now, and you're basically the acting president. You could be doing all this stuff right now. Don't tell me you couldn't be making inflation come down. If you got this magic wand that supposedly Joe Biden says it doesn't exist, or Barack Obama says it doesn't exist, and then you know Trump steps in, and all of a sudden we have this economy that kicks off. It's because you have to understand the energy policy is what runs our economy here. It's not trickle down, trickle up. It is energy. It's all about oil. That is what makes our economy run. It just is, and that is the baseline of what everything else. Now there are things that can affect that, but if the oil prices stay low, if our energy prices stay low, and our production is up, we are a world power on the world stage, and we are dominant in that. Now, without that, there you go. We're subservient to everybody. This is like when Joe Biden went off to Saudi Arabia, and he was bowing to everybody out there, asking OPEC to keep the prices down. Why are we asking anybody to do that? We have the power to force the prices down. So it's just one of those things. Now, there's a couple different ways you can look at that strategically in the long run, but we'll get into that maybe some other show about how, you know, whether you should use up all your resources or just, you know, burn everybody else's up, and then we end up with the only ones left at the end of time. But it doesn't matter because we're not going to have a country left anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But the what ends up happening is, so Joe gets shipped back all of a sudden, and there's this thing called 421. It's an issue where they were going to cleared intersections. This is all documented in the police records and everything else that was happening in Las Vegas. And they wherever it was that Joe was staying when he was out there, they thought they were going to have to rush him to the hospital. So apparently he had some kind of an episode, some kind of a medical issue, or issue, if you're from from Great Britain, from the EU. They're closing down intersections, and they're getting ready for the president to come through, the motorcade to come through. And, of course, they waited and waited. I think it was only like an hour and a half that they waited for they had these intersections closed down. The next thing you know, Joe is being whisked off to Air Force One. And he's not going to the hospital. They were securing and preparing the hospital there in, where I went. I can't remember what the name of the hospital was. I heard it this morning. I can't remember what it was. They're preparing for it for this secure, you know, event to happen when he was supposed to show up. He never showed up. So, what happened there? Now, supposedly he had COVID as they whisked him off. Now, I don't know. There's no question in my mind anymore. I always thought this seemed a little bit wacky, a little bit crazy, and I was always a little bit leery. There is a body double. There's at least one. There's probably more than one. There are people, there are some guys that they've got that look enough like Joe and act enough like Joe that they can put out in public and literally, for certain photo ops and certain things that they have out there, they've got this different person they're putting out there. And this is, of course, now it could be a mask as well. I mean, it's very possible. So the CIA, this was 20 some years ago, 23, 24 years ago, had mask technology that was so good that a person could go into a briefing with the president and the president would never know that was someone else that was in the room. Now, you might, after they start speaking or walking or talking or whatever it is, you might know, but just to be in a group of people, say there were four or five people in the room and that person didn't say much, or the president didn't know them very well, that maybe had seen them or knew a picture of them, that person could get away with being in the Oval Office with the president and not be the actual individual who was being masked to be in there. Or it could be somebody else with a mask on, say the it could be the press secretary that could be wearing the mask and just being in there as somebody that was with another. It's just the weird stuff. Weird stuff can be happening there. So the possibility of someone not really looking like Joe, but actually having a mask on, is also extremely possible. I was leery to accept this as a theory. Okay, there's body doubles. Yeah, okay, whatever. There's all this stuff. But okay, what is this? Why does his face look different here and different there? Which, as always, it raises eyebrows, raises questions. Why is it going on there? Is it lighting? Is it something weird going on? There are times when I know certain camera angles, I look different in different cameras. I can look different behind certain cameras and that kind of thing, depending on the lens, focal point, all those kinds of things. However, when he's riding by on a bicycle and his body is completely changed, body's completely different, or he's taller, much taller than normal, this becomes very obvious as well. So this is one of those things where I think that we have a serious problem here, where we're getting this is all made for TV. It's for the show. It's all about the end justifies the means with these people, as I've said before. And here they have this all put together in such a way that we are just being gaslit constantly now, without any shame at what whatsoever. And that's one of the things that I think is happening right now with this whole Kamala thing. Now, so Joe goes back to Delaware. All of a sudden, he comes out with this letter, and he comes out with a statement on whatever it was, Twitter or some kind of social media, about stepping down. And he has this little speech where he's saying that he's passing the torch and doing all this stuff. Whether that was him or not, I don't know. I really don't know. The next interview, now Joe has, since he stepped down from his campaign, he has had more interviews with media than Kamala Harris has, who is now the presumptive nominee, supposedly. She claims, the campaign claims to have secured the delegates needed for the nomination. Nobody voted for her in the primary. She was on the ticket as a VP, not as a, which could have been changed at any moment. Joe Biden could have said, okay, I've got all the delegates, and I have to make an announcement. We're going to change the VP, and nothing changes because those are Joe Biden's delegates. They aren't Kamala Harris's delegates. She's just some. It's like as if they've chosen a chief of staff. The president could fire the VP at any time during his presidency or during the campaign and reinstate someone else anytime he or she wanted to. That person is not elected. They are simply on his staff. They are serving at the pleasure of the president. We are voting for a president when we vote in a primary, not a ticket. She claims, well, I was already on the ticket. This is a violation of campaign law. I am positive of that. I'm sure that's got to come out. I'm sure lawyers are working on it right now, trying to figure out what they're going to do. Because if they continue on with this, it makes Kamala invalid. And of course, Jamie Raskin isn't going to care about that on January 6th or January 5th or whenever it is that we have our delegates counted. It's just going to be Donald Trump is ineligible because he's disqualified because he incited an insurrection. It's part of an insurrection, violent insurrection that killed somebody. People died that day. No. Nobody died that day other than one person who was not on the side of the police. That didn't happen. So, I know I'm all wired up today. Looks like my water's boiled. So now, this is how this works. I get this, I'm running short on my chai here, I guess it looks like. Oh, I got enough. So we take this chai, we get that, the spoon here, and we take about, 5 or 6 heaping teaspoons of this stuff, because it's going to be a big cup, you know. Great big cup. 3, 4, 5. That should work. I'm even going to put some creamer in it just to sweeten it up a little bit because that's the way I am. Put some creamer in there. Gotta fill this cup with ice. That's got to happen. So that's what you're hearing right now. This cup full of ice. By the way, talk about our sponsor for today's show. Oh, that's right. We don't have one. But all you have to do, instead of listening to my sponsor, all you have to do is listen to me making chai. Instead of having to listen to a commercial, it's just me making chai. That's what all you have to listen to. There you go. It's a wonderful thing. We're going to mix this up real quick. Pour it over ice. We're going to have us some iced chai. And you're going to love it, whether you like it or not. So we have a little drip there. So here we are. We're stirring up the chai now, the chai mixture, in our little cup, coffee cup. Got it all stirred up real good there with the creamer, highly concentrated. Now we're going to pour it over ice, and as we pour it over the ice will melt, of course, and it will chill the chai. This is how this works, just in case you didn't know. How they make iced chai. That's how they do it at Starbucks, too. They don't use the good chai, like I do. We have, I'm going to put that back in there. Stand by 1 second. We're going to pour this in now over the sink, because it can spill, you know. Pouring that in over the sink. There it is. That's some good stuff right there. We'll just get a little bit more ice. And there you go. We're done with that. Just like that, we have iced chai in my cup. Glad you could come along with me on that experience. We have, that's fun, isn't it? That's a fun sound right there, because I'll tell you, that's the sound of creamy chai sweetness. Ah, that's good stuff. So we have, where were we? So now, Nancy Pelosi is now continuing to do her interviews on some of these podcasts and news shows. And she's acting like she was all sweet and innocent about this whole thing. I didn't know about anything. I didn't know about all this stuff. I didn't do anything. All I do know, I just encouraged him to make a decision. She kept saying, he needs to make a decision. Well, he made his decision. And one reporter actually pushed back on her and said, he said he's going to run. Well, he needs to make that decision. In other words, he needed to make needed to make Nancy Pelosi's decision. The right decision, which was her decision. In other words, there's two ways of doing things, the wrong way and Nancy's way. That's what that amounts to. And until he came around and made it, you know, and she's not saying anything about him making any decisions now. Well, he made his decision. He stepped down. No, well, he still needs to make a decision. No, she's not doing that because now he's made his decision. He's made the right decision. And you can't tell me that there wasn't any kind of coercion here going on. Now, here's what's really, really crazy about this whole thing. If the Democrats, if this is what happened, if the Democrats, all these elites and all these people in the Democrat Party, came out and said, Joe, if you don't step down from the campaign, we're going to invoke the 25th Amendment. That means they have grounds to do so, and they can prove that it's doable. It needs to be done. I mean, it wasn't even 12 hours after Biden said, if I have some kind of medical condition that, you know, the doctor says I can't continue, I'll step down from the race. Within 24 hours, he's stepping down from the race. He was back in Delaware, and then 24 hours later, he's stepping down from the race. The thing about this is, if that's the case, if he's not capable, if they can prove the 25th Amendment, if they can actually invoke that and get him out of office. And of course, once he's out of office, now he's also, with all the hoopla, now I don't think it would happen this way, but all the hoopla about presidential immunity and all that stuff, once he gets out of office, he's the one who said it. You know, nobody's above the law, and once you get out of the presidential immunity thing, you know, shouldn't apply to, well, let's hold him to that standard. Let's say that once he steps out of office, we can prosecute him for all the things he did prior to being the president and as well as when he was the president. And I think part of the issue here is he knows that Hunter Biden is not going to have any more protection anymore from him. Now, maybe they made a deal and promised him protection to step down. That may be another issue. It may be a part of this whole package of the whole thing. Maybe, you know, Joe, you're not mentally capable. We know we have all this stuff on you from Hunter Biden. Remember how the FBI operates. They have all this information. They probably came to the DNC and said, here's all the dirt you need. You can, you know, use this for him to coerce him. Here's the real story with Hunter and all the money. We know everything about everything that's happened. Here's all the information. If you decide that you need it, it's right here. That may have been what they did. There's so many, because the end justifies the means for these people. They don't care. And they will the entire time think that they are doing what's right for America because they're doing what's right for themselves. They think that they are the government. They are their democracy. They don't care about our Constitution. They don't care about our republic, our constitutional process. They obviously don't care about democracy itself because they have just instated, this is a VP candidate who has never received any delegate votes. Zero. And yet she's the VP candidate and she's the most wonderful person on the planet. She came down, you know, basically descended from heaven and apparently had nothing to do with the former administration and all the inflation and all the other issues that we have, because all of a sudden she's going to have to wait till day one to fix all these things. And this whole thing about no tax on tips, which she got, of course, that idea from, guess who? Donald Trump, who's been saying it for the last 8 months. By the way, he also has a little other thing, no tax on Social Security benefits. Folks, that's huge. That is a huge, we're talking large chunk of change there. And I have always wondered about this. I've always thought this is ridiculous. The government's giving me money, and I have to pay a portion of that money back to the government as income tax. What? Why don't you just reduce the amount you're giving me if that's the case? Why are you giving me so much and then having me to pay tax? Because now I have to pay for my accountant and take the time to do all my accounting and all that. Just hand me a check and just be done with it. It's the old bilge pump. So we have all this stuff going on. So the real question is, if he was capable of being put out as the under the 25th Amendment, and all of a sudden he remains in office, that means they know that he's not capable of being the president right now, because he would qualify for the 25th Amendment. And they're keeping him in there And I think this is basically because that way they cannot blame Kamala. If Kamala becomes the president, all of a sudden she has to announce a VP, which she would have. She'd probably put Walls in there. At the same time that all that's happening, she now becomes responsible for this economy to a greater degree. The border, the economy, everything. I don't really care whether she's border czar or not. This is kind of like Mayorkas. Everybody was out, they were out to impeach Mayorkas. Mayorkas is not a... He's not an autonomous individual outside of this administration. In other words, he reports to the president. The president at any... Look at who can hire and fire that person. And I've had situations in my life where I'd gone to a church for a long time, and I loved the place. I really liked the church. I liked the people. I liked the way they did stuff. I thought it was really a cool operation, and I liked the mission that they had. I found out later on, as time went on, I was on staff there for a little while, for almost a year, and discovered that there was one man who could walk into any meeting and fire anyone anytime he wanted to on staff. I think we had about 23 or 24 people on staff. That person who could walk in and fire anyone, there was no one that could fire him. No one that could fire him. This, that old ice maker making more ice back there. This began to disturb me. There was no committee. There was no board. There was nothing over, there was no council of people around this guy who could step in and say, you know what? You need to step down, or you're fired, or what? You know, he made those decisions. Now, that is very typical in our American church. However, at least in the evangelical churches that are out there, it's kind of more or less the way it's done, especially the more the charismatic style churches. Now, that is not a biblical blueprint for church government. It is not at all the way it should be. So needless to say, we left that church after a while. And when we went to look church shopping, I'd go to these meetings that they would have about, you know, church membership and what, you know, you want to ask questions about our church and tell you all about what we're doing and our programs. My question was about church government. My first question, we went to this one church that was, I perceived that they had a very strong leader there who seemed to be in charge of everything. And I said, So there's a couple elders there that were there. I said, "What is the who is there a particular person here who is considered the main leader, the one leader of the whole thing?" Well, that would be so and so. He's head pastor. So okay, who can fire him? There's a board. There's a board of elders. That they don't, you know. I said, who appoints those, the elders? Well, the pastor does. The head pastor does. And of course, the other elders have to approve. But but they can't just bring in somebody they want to. They can't just say, well, we have this person, we're going to approve this person. And the pastor has ultimate veto power. No, that person can't be an elder. So he had ultimate power. Now, I don't have to tell you, but the old saying goes, ultimate power ultimately corrupts. And I was not going to have anything to do with it. I would attend that church. I don't mind the services. The people that were there were awesome. It was a good place to hang out for a little while. I would go attend there once in a while. Sometimes there were very good messages there. But I could not be a member there. I could not attend there and call that my church, because that I am not going to fall under that kind of leadership ever again. Ever. Not going to happen. Simply because it is unhealthy at its ultimate core. It draws you in, and almost I'm not going to say they're all this way or they have to be this way, but it basically becomes a cult of personality. Now, it's not an occult. It's not necessarily demonic. It's not necessarily evil, but it has the potential to be very disturbing, and it can be very evil behind the scenes. I've been a part of enough of those kinds of organizations to know that that's just not where I'm going to camp out and be a part of or place my life under that kind of authority. So that's a whole other issue, the whole thing about authority. However, I'm not going to get into that. So we'll even though I did. So this whole thing about Joe and everything that's happening with his status right now. Now he's been, of course, he's been out on the beach. You have to realize that over 40% of Joe's time in office has been spent. They always complained about Donald Trump being out on the golf course all the time. Well, when he's out on the golf course, he's doing business, typically. That's how businessmen do that. Some businessmen, especially big guys, they typically go golfing. Now, Elon Musk doesn't do this, but there's people out there who, that's how they do business. That's just, they go to the golf course, they talk, they eat together, they have a game of golf, and they learn about each other and their temperament, and you learn a lot about a person when you work with them or play with them, in that kind of sense. And that's how he does. That's just how he's accustomed to doing business. So he wouldn't just go golfing just for his own sake. He would go golfing with someone, and then he would have this. You know, he would develop some kind of relationships with these people. So what ends up happening is Joe Biden. He's actually, I've heard that Trump is actually a pretty good golfer. Now, Joe Biden has spent over 40% of his time in office on vacation, on official vacation time, and he just sits out at the beach. He's not making deals. He's not visiting anyone. He's not, entertaining people from anywhere. He's just off. And the last few weeks here, it's been very, very sparse. You know, do we still have a president? Everybody's asking, who's in charge right now? Do we even have a president right now? I'm sure our foreign enemies are looking at this going, this would be a great time to attack. But, you know, especially if riots break out after the November election. If Donald Trump wins, of course, who's going to be doing the rioting? It's not going to be, if I guarantee you, if Donald Trump loses, and it's very obvious that he lost, I can't believe that's going to happen, folks. But if that happens, well, let's just say if Donald Trump wins, there's going to be riots. Now, if you got riots and you've got a situation where you have no president that's really in charge of anything, the weird thing, Joe Biden was asked, will there be a peaceful transfer of power if Donald Trump loses? Or I think he just said, will there be a peaceful transfer of power in January, on January 20th? His answer was, if Donald Trump wins, it won't be peaceful. If Donald Trump loses, it won't be peaceful because he said it's going to be a bloodbath. The transfer of power is, but if Donald Trump loses, the transfer of power happens between him and Kamala. Donald Trump is not in power right now. The logic behind that statement makes no sense whatsoever when it's just boiled down to the answering the question. You could say, yes, there'll be a peaceful transfer of power, but my concern is there might be, incredible riots and possibly, violent actions of the lashing out of that. That's not going to happen on January 20th, by the way. If that's going to happen, it's going to be after the election. It'll be before the end of the year. There'll be protest, but that's not the way the right responds. The right does not react that way. We're not 12-year-olds. We are responsible individuals. We don't burn our cities down because we don't like the outcome of some election. That's the left. The leftists do that. I'm not even talking about liberals anymore. I'm not talking about traditional Democrats. I'm talking about the leftists. The progressives. These are people that have historically been known to be very, very violent individuals that typically end up taking power through violence and fear. That's the way it's always happened. Happened that way in Cuba. It's happened that way around other parts of the country, other parts of the world. World. So, having said all of that, I've talked a lot longer than I planned to talk. I really didn't think I was going to be chatting this long. So, once again, I want to emphasize the importance of ice in the background. Just more ice is being made there. So once again, I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank you for putting up with all this. I'm going to try to have more clips about things that Nancy has said, things that Joe Biden has said. And then there's the whole all the thing about what Kamala has been saying, the way they've been, just the whole campaign, the way it's going and everything that's happening with all, that whole thing. And the fact that, you know, they were all out there saying that Donald Trump was afraid. Donald Trump was scared, running scared. He's scared of Kamala. In their brain, they think that Donald Trump is afraid of this. I'll call it like it is, like I see it. A dim-witted floozy. She has... I hate calling people those kinds of names, but that's what she is. I'm not saying she can't become something greater. I'm not saying she couldn't become the greatest president we've ever had. I'm not very hopeful of that. Because of her background, because of the actions that she's taken so far, because of the way she is just going to do whatever it takes to get in that. She wants that office. She craves the attention. If you've seen her in some of her campaign speeches, at some of the rallies, the way she loves to pause and just eat up the clapping, the applause, all the, you know, they have these signs that go off and they're supposed to clap, to have certain responses and say certain things. Joe Biden gave that away one time when he actually read those things in his script. Pause. 4 more years. Oh. 4 more years. Oh, I just read something I wasn't supposed to read. And of course, then the crowd starts saying, 4 more years, 4 more years. She's very good at reading the teleprompter and pausing when she's supposed to pause. And I know Donald Trump's type. Because she stands, she sits there and smiles. And we'll find out in the debate, won't we? I'm not agreeing to any more debates, because if that first debate doesn't go well, she's not going to show up for any more. If she trounces him on that first debate, which that'll be the perception. Remember after the debate with Joe Biden, how miserably a failure it was. In fact, it basically ended his campaign. That debate ended his campaign. And yet all we were told was Joe Biden was stellar. He's absolutely wonderful. He's perfect in every way. But this is, people were telling us that they were having discussions with Joe Biden behind the scenes and behind closed doors, and he was just as sharp and on top of everything. Nancy Pelosi was telling us when she discusses things, or she first says, "I want to debate foreign policy or discuss foreign policy with him," he's right there, he's on board. And 48 hours later, he's it's time to go, because the debate didn't go well, and all of a sudden Joe Biden is out the door. So this is the kind of thing that they're pulling all the time. So, I will. I will be back tomorrow. Hopefully tomorrow morning I will have. There's a slight chance that I may not be able to have a show tomorrow. It may be late by the time I have a show. It might be late in the day. Thursday and Friday there will be a show. Hopefully Thursday I'm gonna have to be up fairly late on Wednesday, I believe, at this point. I'm not sure how late I'm going to be up, but it's going to be kind of late. And then I'm going to be, it may not have to be that late. So then I'm going to have some other things going on with Friday morning. Almost surely there will be a show Friday morning with one of those days, either Thursday or Friday. I'll have a lot more audio clips to play for you, because I'll be at the home office on those days, and I'll be able to play some things for you. So we'll just get all that done. Once again, thanks for listening, and thanks for sharing, subscribing, commenting, sharing your feedback on anything. I'd be interested in hearing some people's opinions. If you have any opinions on anything I've talked about, please, I'll discuss them on the show. I'll read your opinions word for word. If you want to send me something, and I'll be happy to respond and to comment on your opinions, and maybe have like an open book discussion, kind of so to speak, an open email discussion, whatever it might be. I do appreciate those kinds of things, because it seems like it stimulates more conversation and engagement, and gives people a better understanding of the perspective that everybody has, so, as well as myself. Folks, thanks for listening. God bless. Have a great rest of your day and rest of your week. Take care.